Sunday we started that topic, Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And we say that when the Lord gives you prophetic utterances, prophetic word, his promises, we cannot afford to just think it was just something that was said. We have to invest, align, and just make sure that we stand on the word until it is fulfilled. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And I said last Sunday that we are going to focus on three areas when we are talking about behold the new. And the first area I mentioned was repositioning for the new. When we talk about position, it means like right now, your position is that you're seated in a hall in Glorious Power Church, which is located in 40 Vinyl Square in North Chelmsford. That's the position you're in. And if we talk about repositioning, we mean that we need you to adjust that position. We need you to be relocated or just align some things and get into a new position. We may say that your position right now is sitting down, but if we say, can you stand, that is a repositioning. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, as we dig deeper on what the Lord is doing, we say that this promise of I'm doing a new thing has a timing in it, and we say the timing is now. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, there is a promise, and then there is a promise in a promise. Behold, I am doing a new thing, and can't you see it, perceive it, because it springs forth now. So it's not only having the expectation of receiving the new, but also we have a timeline that the new is happening now. There is no delay in this promise. But then there is requirement of what we are supposed to do. The Bible says, don't you know it? Don't you know it? Don't you perceive it? There is an expectation that we will behold and see. We will know it is happening. We will not be caught unaware. Praise the name of the Lord. You will not find it as a surprise. Because if we reposition ourselves, we are going to be in a place where we can see what new is springing forth. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about Mary and Martha. They were both good friends of Jesus. And it was a trend that Jesus would always go to their house and have dinner, you know. But there's one particular time that is noted in the Bible where Mary repositioned herself. You know, the position of women is from the social norms and the norms from before is that the women are there to serve. Praise the name of the Lord. And so it was the normal position for mother to be busy in the kitchen, serving, preparing food for the disciples and Jesus because they are here. But one time Mary chose not to be in the kitchen with mother, the normal position. And she sat at the feet of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. I know you've read that story. I got to a place and the mother was like, you know what, Jesus. And sometimes when I read that, I imagine him with a cooking stick, you know, coming out to the place where they are seated and just ready to report Mary. And she looks at Jesus and says, don't you care? Huh? Don't you care that Mary is just seated there and not helping me? I have so much to do. And she's changed position. She's seated at your feet. But I have so much that is going on in the kitchen. Why don't you tell her to move from that position? Come help me in the kitchen. Praise the name of the Lord. Whenever I read this story, I think of my two daughters, Patience and Praise. And I can see Patience. Most likely, Patience and Praise will be the one seated, you know. And Patience will come and is like, Mom, why are you not telling her to come and help me? Praise the name of the Lord. Or it can be the other way around. Praise is like, nope. I'm the one seated, reported all the time. Praise the name of the Lord. But there's something that Jesus said. Jesus did not tell Martha what you're doing is not necessary. Or what you're doing is not right. Jesus said that there is so much. Mother, that you trouble yourself with so much. Meaning all those things that you're doing are okay. But one thing is needful. And that is what Mary has chosen. Praise the name of the Lord. And as we continue to think about what the Lord is about to do, I want us to think about how sometimes we are so rigid with the norm. We are so rigid with the tradition. We are so rigid with how things ought to be done. But the Lord is calling us to reposition ourselves for the new. Maybe usually you are so busy running up and down and serving, but for this new that is springing forth, the Lord is telling you, just come. Stick at my feet. Pay attention. Listen. Praise the name of the Lord. And we find the same thing in the book of Genesis chapter 12. I mentioned this last time, but I'm also going to mention it again. Genesis 12 verse 1 to 4. If we can have that text up there. The Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. So here is a promise that Abraham has received. A promise of becoming the father of great nation. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And in this promise, he's been told, I'm going to bless those who bless you. Anyone who holds you in contempt, I will curse. But there is a requirement. Abraham, I'm ready to do all this. I'm ready to make you a father of great nation. But you need to be repositioned right where you are. I'm not able to do this. I need you to move to a land that I will show you. I need you to be positioned at a place where all these promises will manifest. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And when I was looking at this, in verse 4, something caught my eye. Because the Bible says, so Abraham went as the Lord told him. And then there is another addition, and Lot went with him. When we are talking about repositioning, we are not just talking about place, but we also talk about the people that are in your position. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I always wonder whether Abraham had a moment of asking God, should I carry somebody else apart from me and my family? But he went along with Lot. Praise the name of the Lord. And I was thinking about this and just meditating and asking the Lord, could there be that I moved? Yes. But even as I moved around with the same people you wanted me to separate from. In this new that is happening. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's not just about the place. It's also about the people who are in your circles. As you reposition yourself, as you adjust the position, as you revise where you are, what is it that can hinder you from seeing what the Lord is bringing forth? Praise the name of the Lord. So I'm just going to mention a few things and then I get into a story that we are going to learn from. In this repositioning, we need to have a heart of forgiveness. We need to be very forgiving. Praise the name of the Lord. Because sometimes we get stuck in one place and the Lord is saying, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Yet you are there holding grudges. And yes, Lord, you're doing a new thing, but this and this happened. So and so did this. Praise the name of the Lord. So going to the new, we have to have forgiveness. And we can read Mark 2 and 5 verse 5 as reference. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. So I don't want to get into the details of the story, but I want you to see Jesus has somebody who is paralyzed, and instead of telling that person, get up and walk, he's addressing sins. And he's saying, your sins are forgiven. Forgiveness. Praise the name of the Lord. And for after receiving that forgiveness, this man is able to move from that position of just lying on the bed. Praise the name of the Lord. And getting from the position of being paralytic to a position of wholeness because of forgiveness. Praise the name of the Lord. I will tie all this up together. The next thing we need to focus on when talking about repositioning is forgetfulness. Forgetting the past, just like our text has said, remember ye not the former things, because I'm doing a new thing. Forgetting the past. And another text we can look at is in 2 Corinthians 5:17. So many people have a hard time with separating from the past and forgetting. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Forgetting the past. You know, as we talk about forgetting the past and we are talking about being repositioned, sometimes we think about our failures. We tried to do this. It didn't work out. And because you keep dwelling on what didn't work out, you are not able to be positioned in a place to see the new. Praise the name of the Lord. But I have come to tell you, as the Lord repositions us for the new, therefore, because you are in Christ, there is a new creation. All things have passed away. And look, new things have come. I want you to be able to address and say, it doesn't matter what people knew me from my past. It doesn't matter what I have failed from the past. If the Lord says he is doing a new thing, I will forget what happened in the past. I will forget what discouraged me yesterday. I will forget the failures of yesterday. I will be positioned in a place where I can behold and see the new. Praise the name of the Lord. And above all, we cannot forget number three, faith. Because it is by faith that Abraham moved. And faith, when I'm talking about faith in this repositioning for the new, I'm talking about faith in the one who has promised. Praise the name of the Lord. Believing that he who has promised is able. We don't need to understand how he's gonna do it, but I will believe in him anyway. He says it, he is faithful to do it. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't you think it's such a strange thing? You just hear a voice, and the voice is saying, I will make you a great nation, and I need you to get out of here, the place of you're familiar with, the place of your comfort. I want you to get out and go to a place, a land that I will show you. Most of us would have settled there and said, no, I'm waiting for you to show me the destination. You know, we are living in the era where we use GPS. And the GPS, you have to enter the address. How do you tell the GPS now move? To where? Praise the name of the Lord. And some of us in our Christian life, in our faith walk, we want to operate like the GPS. We cannot step ahead until the Lord tells us the final destination. I'm talking about being repositioned, and you're stuck there saying, to where? To what? And then what? Give me the steps. How do I go about it? The Lord calls us to the place of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it talks about faith. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's the one I read. The next one. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Okay, let's read this together. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him. Praise the name of the Lord. Faith, we cannot minimize the importance of faith in the reposition. We gotta believe that he who is saying this, He who is saying that, behold, I am doing a new thing, he is faithful. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 11 again, and you can find that verse, about Sarah. Sarah believed, even though she was past the age of childbearing. She believed that he who promised knows what he is doing. Imagine Sarah at that age. And she is in the kitchen. Hello, mothers. Huh? God has come to visit them. Sarah is in the tent making bread. And she overhears a conversation between God and Abraham. And the conversation is going like this. A time like this next year. A time like this next year. Huh? She will have. Hey, the first thing she did was what we always do. We laugh. She laughed. And then God was like, Sarah, why did you laugh? Huh? Why did you laugh? Because it seems to be beyond the natural, beyond what we can think. And Sarah is laughing and asking, oh, at my age, me. You know, me at my. But in Hebrews 11, verse 11, it explained how it came to pass. It says, by faith, even Sarah herself, the one who was laughing in disbelief, she got to a place of faith. When she was barren, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since, can we read together, what did she do? Since she considered that the one who had promised was? Amen. Can we read that part again? What did she do? What was the difference between the laughter and the hug getting a child? The difference was this part. Maybe she had a conversation within herself and she was like, this God who can know that I laughed, I'm inside the tent and he heard me laughing. This God that my husband really believes and is a friend of my husband, I don't know how he's going to do this, but she considered. Considering means that she took time to analyze a few things. And then she came to this conclusion. The one who has promised is faithful. And so, as we continue understanding what the Lord is speaking to us, have those moments of considerations, those moments of reflections, and get into the conclusion that the one who has promised is faithful. The one who has said that he's making a way in the desert, he's faithful. The one who has said that he's going to cause rivers to spring forth in the desert, he is faithful. It's not about us, it's about him. He is faithful. And so we can stand on the place of faith and say, Lord, I believe. I don't know how you're going to do it. It is not for me to understand how you will do it. But I will be repositioned in a place to see. I am going to accept your forgiveness. Because in the past you have said move and I didn't move. Praise the name of the Lord. Or maybe because where I am right now, the current situation, I brought myself up. It came on me because I brought myself there. I messed up. I accept the forgiveness. And after accepting the forgiveness, I understand that I ought to forget the past. I don't need to dwell on how and where and what I did for me to be in this mess. Because you have forgiven me, I can forget. And stand on faith. Because you're saying you're doing a new thing. I want you to just focus for a minute. And think about the promises of God over your life. What has the Lord said about you? Amen. You know, at one point some years ago, all I had was a promise that I will be an international speaker. And this promise was spoken to me when I was very young, a very young kid. And I remember the person who prophesied that told even my parents, take care of this one. She will go to nations. But I remember at a certain point in my life, things were really looking funny. Looking funny, odd, and, you know. And I would go and do manual labor, what we call in our language, kibarua. And that manual labor is carrying manure. carrying manure to the farm. And it was in a place that was very hilly, you know. And you carry manure in January when it is very hot. And at this particular time, I remember that I didn't even have shoes. I could not even afford to have slippers to shield my feet from the hot sand. You know, the soil becomes so hot. Why? It becomes so hot. And here we are, me and some women, and I remember the promise. And I tell one of the women, by the way, God had said, I will preach in the nations. And I remember this one woman looking at me and said, oh, Mama Wairimu, Ogatwonihoro, you will show us things. You don't even have a sleeper. We are sharing a sleeper. She is going with one, and I'm going with the other, carrying manure. You are the one to go to the nations. And I could walk telling her, by the way, God said, let me tell you, one day you will not find me in this land carrying manure, because there is something that God said. And my friends would look at where we are when I'm talking of the promises, and there is no way that it can happen. According to our understanding, yeah. Do you know why I had to even keep saying it? Because I had to remind myself, Lord, here I am carrying manure to get some food for my kids, but God, remember what you said about me. Amen. You said one day that I will be preaching in the nations. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Not just leaving the word where it is, applying faith. See, it doesn't matter how it looks right now,
yeah.
But the one who promised is faithful.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And now look at me. I come to church with shoes and then I can't even have them on. Not because I don't have shoes. Because I don't know what's with me and shoes now. The same person. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Forgiveness. Forgetfulness of the past. And faith in the one who promised. So, I want to do like I did last Sunday, and we talk about one case, one scenario, one that can help us understand reposition. Praise the name of the Lord. And then we'll wrap this up. 1 Kings chapter 20. I was reading this in the morning, and I had the Spirit of the Lord just applying it to what we are learning this time. Second, 1 Kings chapter 20. It talks about a king. His name is Ben-Hadad. He's the king of Aram. And he assembles his entire army. And he march up and besiege Samaria and fights against Samaria. And he says one thing. He says in verse 3. He says, your silver and your gold are mine. Your loveliest wives and children are mine. He's claiming everything that the children of Israel own. And he's saying it by word. And then I don't know why this king, his name is King Ahab, does not fight back. I don't know whether he has lost the power to fight, but he just says, okay, yes, you can have my gold. You can have my... He's trying to make peace with the enemy. But that is not what the Lord is interested in. The Lord is not interested with making compromises with the enemy. Praise the name of the Lord. And so the elders, in verse 8, the elders decide, no, we cannot have a king agreeing that our gold, our silver, our wives, and everything we have, we are just going to hand it over. We cannot just agree. So the elders and all the people said to the king, now they're telling, don't listen all, agree. And you know, there are sometimes we become so complacent and we compromise and we just like, we want to seek peace. And the enemy comes, they want to take away the children, want to take away your money, want to take away your gold. And you feel like you do not have the fighting power. But we see that there are elders and there are people who are saying, no, this is not how our God operates. This is not what our God promised. And that's why I say, take a moment and pause and reflect. Is the way your life is right now what God has spoken over? Is where you are right now what God intended you to be, or where God intended you to be? Is how everything is right now reflecting the promise of God in your life? Like my case back in the village, struggling. Was that a reflection of what God said? And even right here where we are right now, does it mean we are already achieved or received everything that God intended us to receive? Praise the name of the Lord. How many times have we just lifted hands and given up and just said, ah, let it be. God will help me when he wants. If God wills, he will bless me. Standing on the promises of God and what God has spoken to us, it also includes warfare. We have to fight because the enemy knows what you have been promised. Praise the name of the Lord. The enemy knows what you have, and he is determined that you will not get there, you will not receive it. And so you cannot just say, oh, God is not faithful, oh, he promised and it's not happening. Are you contending? Are you waging war to make sure that what God said is what is going on in your life? What the Lord has dictated over your life or promised of your life is what is manifesting. Amen. In your life. I refuse to be like Ahab, where the enemy says, oh, your silver, your gold, your children, your women are mine. And I say, okay. How many times have we just said okay to something that is contrary to what God has spoken over our lives, to what God has promised over our lives? So in this text, we find that Ahab was convinced by the people and they go out and fight. And the first time they fight, there is victory. Praise the name of the Lord. A prophet arises in verse 13 and says, thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And so Ahab is now seeking the Lord and asking, by whom? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? And he says, thus says the Lord, by the young leaders of the provinces. Then he said, who will set the battle in order? And he answered you. Can you imagine what kind of a confusion this king is having? The Lord is saying, I will deliver all this great army into your hands. And then he's like, by who? How is it going to go? And the Lord says, the young men of the provincial leaders. And then, can we read that part? Who will start there? I thank God because he's so patient. Because some of even the questions we ask, this is a very defeated person. He has already accepted and is comfortable with where he is. Even he has to ask the Lord, who will start the battle? Who will fight? And the Lord say, you. You will fight. I pray, and I also pray for you, that we will not be as confused as this man. That we do not even understand the authority that is carried in the promises of God. That this man wants to just do defense, but the Lord is calling him to a place of playing offense. Start the battle. Praise the name of the Lord. And I thank God because those young leaders, the provincial leaders, the young people are understanding their mandate, and they went and fought and there was victory. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm jumping so that you can go read the story for yourself because it is very, very interesting. So after winning, the prophet again comes and tells the man of God, the king in verse 22, Go strengthen yourself. Take note. See what you should do. For in the spring of the year, the king of Assyria will come up against you. So the battle has been won. And there is something here that the Lord wants us to understand. Yes, the battle has been won. But that does not mean the enemy is dead. And this is where the enemy catches us unaware. After a victory, we settle in the place. And we are feeling good. And we celebrate. But the prophet comes to tell him, no, 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 no. Go and strengthen yourself. After one victory, go and strengthen yourself. Consider what you should do. Because it doesn't mean that this is the end of the battle. In the spring, the king will march up against you. And so, I was reading this and I understand that sometimes we do not take time to strengthen ourselves, to arm ourselves, and to consider what we should do, because we think that the pattern that worked yesterday is going to work even that time. When that time comes, praise the name of the Lord. And I want you to see what the Lord is showing us here. He gives us what is happening in the camp of the enemy. In verse 23, he says, then the servant of the king of Syria said to him, their gods are the gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But if we fight against them in the plain, surely we'll be stronger than they. So in the camps of the enemy, they are giving themselves hope. They are saying, oh, we got defeated because their gods are the gods of the hills. That's why they were stronger. And here you are, if you're not strengthening yourself, you're thinking you're going to go fight the same way. The enemy is planning another way, saying, okay, let's fight from the place. And they plan themselves and they have an army. And verse 28, I'm jumping, make sure you read the whole chapter. Verse 28, then the man of God approached and said to the king of Israel, this is what the Lord says, because the Arameans have said, the Lord is a God of the mountains and not a God of the valley, I will hand over this entire immense hold to you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Amen. The Lord is saying, they can't limit me. They said I am a God of the mountains and I can fight in the valleys. And because of that, because I need you to know who I am, I will give you the victory. And so they go and fight in the valley and they win the war. Praise the name of the Lord. And I want you to go and study for yourself what happens after that, because there's also another tactic they used. The third tactic they use is that, oh, we hear that the gods of the Israel are so merciful. Let us go and ask for forgiveness. Repositioning requires us to depend on the Lord step by step. And not get stuck to the history of how he did it yesterday. Praise the name of the Lord. It is sad that when they came to ask for mercy, this time round, the king did not seek from the prophet, what should we do? And he was like, oh, I forgive you. Yeah? Because he was just tired of fighting. And I pray that that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. I need us to pray for ourselves. If you realize that you need to do some forgiving and also forgiving yourself, because sometimes it's us. You are like so hard on yourself. You can't forgive. You can't let go. As the Lord reposition us for the new, I want you to experience the forgiveness of the Lord and also forgive others in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have been dealing with just remembering the past failures, the past mistakes, and even the past victories that have made you stuck, I want you to ask the Lord to help you move to the place of remembering of the former and considering the new that He is doing. If you have been struggling with the place of faith, believe in Him who promised, because sometimes you see and watch by sight, there is no faith. Everything around is saying contrary to what God is saying. I want you to ask the Lord to raise you to a place of faith, and like Sarah, a place of considering Him who has saved, Him who has promised is faithful, in the name of Jesus. If we can stand on our feet and just go before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to experience your forgiveness. I cannot just be stuck in one place where you are calling me to the place of the new. I want to be able to forget the past failures, the past mistakes, the things that happened in the past. I want to just let go. And I want to stand from the place of faith. What you have promised over my life may seem impossible, but you are the God of impossibilities. It may seem too hard. It may seem as if it's taking too long, but I will trust you, Lord. I will have faith in you, Lord. I consider you to be faithful, my God. I pray in the name of Jesus that I may choose that which is needful. There are so many things that are necessary. There are many things that can occupy my time. But at this place, oh God, I am here, dear Father, ready to be repositioned for the new thing that you're doing. I don't want to miss it, my God. I don't want unforgiveness to deter me from receiving it. I don't want the past to hinder me from receiving the new. I don't want unbelief to be the roadblock from the new, my Father. I yield myself. I surrender myself to you. Shataka namasetayanda. Continue praying, continue praying, continue praying.